Praise the Lord and welcome to another Gift of Life show. This is Mama T coming at you, and I hope you're having a good day. And if you're not, you can choose to. I know a lot of people are going through a lot of things. We're going through a lot of things, and everybody's thing is different. But if it's depressing and sad and heart-pressing on you, still continue to praise God. Still continue to know that God is in control, and He is the master over your life. Look to Him. Call on Him. Read Psalms 91. Just be encouraged. If you're a born-again believer and you love the Lord, hey, all things work together to those who love God, that are called according to His purpose. He will work it out. He is working it out. So just get your head up and just continue to just bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, and all that's within you, and sow those seeds. Now, the story I'm going to talk about today, we're still talking about the parables that Jesus told. And one of the things I've been thinking about since I've been reading about these parables and studying them, and I hope it blesses you. You know, the last one that I did was about the parable of the story about the servants that had talents, you know, and one had five and one had two and one had one, and the one that had five and two, you know, they multiplied it. They brought back 100% profit for the master. But the one that had one, he heard the command, he heard the voice of what God said, but he chose to walk in fear, live in fear, and then he hid it. And then the Lord called him a wicked and lazy a servant, because he was hiding and fearing the master, not showing reverence and love, and then taking what even wasn't his and hiding it and not reproducing it. And we found out that parable is a story about God giving us, His children, talents and gifts that He wants us to use. So no matter what condition that you're in, if you have breath to breathe and you can talk, you can bless somebody. You know, there's a song, I'm not a singer, but there's a song that it talks about forget about yourself and magnify the Lord and worship Him. I want to encourage you, because if you keep your focus on yourself predominantly all the time, and it's about me, myself, and I, that's going to get pretty depressing and sad, because in us, there's really nothing good to look at. But as a believer, we need to keep our focus on who we are in Christ, our new identity in Christ. That's what Colossians says in Colossians 3, to set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. And as born-again believers, we have a brand new nature, a brand new position, a brand new power, brand new identity. We are born again, and we're accepted in the Beloved. He loves us. He has called us by name. And we are created in His image and wired for love. So if you still have breath to breathe, you need to be praising Him, okay? And not give the enemy Satan or those toxic thoughts that he puts in our head, if we believe them and receive them, not to believe those toxic thoughts. Cast them down. And the way you can cast them down is just refuse to believe what He says about your situation and about you as a person. Believe who God says you are and that He is in control. Okay? And sow those seeds. Continue to sow those seeds. Now, one of the things I was thinking about as I was listening or studying these parables is that I really do want to hear God say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And I'm supposed, because of that last parable that I talked about the three people that had talents, you know, Jesus said in that Matthew 25 passage, He told them, He says, hey, you know, He said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. The one that had five, He said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. And then He said that in Matthew 25:23 to the second one that had two talents. He says, hey, you did good with your talent. You didn't waste it. You know, He says, well done, enter in. But that one that had that one talent, He said, you were wicked and lazy. And basically, he was didn't have a very good ending there, because he didn't use the master's talent correctly. Now, also, too, in Luke 19, there's another story I'm going to talk about. And that's where this is coming from, Luke 19, 11 through 27. It's similar, but there's major differences there. Because in this particular story, this is about 10 people that had 10 talents, or 10 minuses. They all had, which equals about 3 months' wages. They all had the same amount. Where in the one with the talents in Matthew 25, they had three different amounts. So, and one is focused on money, and the other one is focused on your gifts and talents. So, it's just beautiful, though. But the principle's the same. God has given us all the gifts and talents and abilities to sow those seeds, sow them into other people's lives, make somebody else's life better than it is, and make somebody else see the witness of what God is doing in your life, regardless of what's happening on the outside. So Jesus says in these talents in Luke 19, this parable of the talents. Remember, and I said a parable, you can go on our line on our website, www.lovebyexample.com, and you can scroll on those archives in the Gift of Life show archives and see the different talents, or excuse me, the different parables that I have here. Okay, so you can pick any one, they're all good. But this one we're going to be talking about, I want to hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant, when I arrive in heaven. Don't you? And so that's what I want to hear. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit. In Jesus' parable and the talents, the Lord is telling two faithful servants who use what they have been given and increase the master's wealth. And when the master returned from a long absence away from home, he rewarded the two talents, or excuse me, the two servants, faithful servants, because remember I've said Christ and God only reward our faithfulness, okay? How faithful we are with what he's given us. And he said to them, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few. I will put you in charge with many things. Come and share the master's happiness. Isn't that beautiful? So everyone, I believe, is a born-again believer. You should be wanting to hear those words. And if you are, you got to know there's things that you need to do in order to hear those words, right? And we are saved by God's grace through faith, Ephesians 2:8-9. But we are saved to do good works. We don't do good works to get saved, but because we're born again, have a brand new position, new power, new abilities, now from that position, we perform good works, okay? That's what Ephesians 2:10 says. We're the masterpiece of his creation before the foundations of the world to perform good works for him that will glorify him. And Jesus spoke of laying up treasures in heaven, Matthew 6:20, and his parables of the talents is a hint and the various rewards to those who will be faithful in serving him on this side of glory. To hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, from Jesus, first makes you aware that you got to be born again. So if you're wanting to hear that, you must know that you are born again. But people that maybe that don't want to hear that, and they could care less, and are focusing on their gifts and their talents or what they want to do and thinking that they can run their own life, you better question that. You better examine yourself. And I've talked about that many times, because as a born again believer, seriously, you should be having a desire to do the Lord's work. Or, unfortunately, there are born-again believers, because I've read 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Galatians, that there are a lot of carnal believers, that it's hard to tell if they're born again or not, because you don't see the fruits of what the scriptures say you ought to see. They don't know their giftings, they don't know the commandments, they don't know about their armor, they don't know the stories, and because they're not into the word, but they can still be born again. They can still be born again just by fire, by the hair of the chinny chin chin. So it's kind of hard to tell. But bottom line, I'm just saying, if you're born again and you truly have the love of God working in you, there should be some manifestations of fruit. So I have four things I'm going to list that will help you to examine yourself to see, to make sure that you, where's your focus? Is it focus on what God's word says that you need to do and be? Or is it focus on what you're about you, me, myself, and I? Because that's the constant battle that we're going to have while we're on this side of glory. That's Romans 7. We're going to always be battling against the temptations of being selfish, self-centered, and focused on ourselves. That's why you have to continue to renew your mind. And my book, Do You See What I See? That's what it's all about. And our new, praise the Lord, women's conference, CUBU, that's what that's about, to watch healing, the power of God heal those broken areas of selfishness and regrets and guilt and people that are living in the past, and it clouds their future. They can't see where they're going, or they don't go because they're so afraid of stepping out and watching God transform them. And that's the problem that these servants have. The one in Matthew 25, those in Matthew 20, or that one in Matthew 25 and the one in Luke 19. Both of them heard the word of God, just like Adam in Genesis 3:10. I love this. It's the same old thing. It's easy. It's like this, brothers and sisters. You hear the word of God. That's what Adam said. I heard you. In Genesis 3:10, I heard. He says, but I chose to be afraid, and then I chose to hide. See? Fear is one of Satan's favorite weapons. And that's what he did with both of these parables in Matthew 25 and Luke 19. The servants that didn't produce, they heard the command what God said. God said, and the nobleman said, hey, occupy till I come. Take care of my stuff until I come. So they heard the word. They heard the command. But the two that heard the word, they obeyed and responded and reproduced. But the one, and both of these parables heard the word. It says that they were fearful, and one of them hid the talent in a handkerchief or in a cloth, and the other one buried it in the earth. So, brothers and sisters, when you're not using your gifts that God's given you, you're kind of like this servant. So you need to make sure that you are serving the true and living God, and that you have to make sure you know that you are born again. And that's what this scripture is all about, these stories about people that are born again that want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So make sure you're saved. The unbelieving will never hear those words, for without faith in Christ, it is impossible to please God. Notice I said that, faith in Christ. And those who diligently seek God for who he says he is in your relationship, he will reward. That's Hebrews 11:6. And recognize that Jesus is not only your Savior, but he's also your Lord and Master. That's Luke 6:46. Serve the Lord with gladness, Psalms 102. Here are some ideas. Now, here's four things, four things that you can use to say, hey, am I serving the Lord? Or am I serving myself? That's basically the only two choices you have. You're either serving yourself, you come first, then God, maybe, or is God first in your life? And that's the direction that you need to be focusing on. Seeing God become first in your life, seeing Christ being formed in you, to where all you think about is, what does Christ want me to do? You know, walking in the Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit to lead and guide your every step. You can do that. I didn't used to always do this, but I'm doing it much more now, because I was double-minded. I was serving myself here and a little bit of God there and more of me over here. But John said in John 3:30, that he must decrease so Christ can increase. And Paul said in Galatians 4:19, that Christ be formed in you. See, we've got Christ living in us. The Holy Spirit, the Trinity, lives in us. Our body, our mortal body, has the power of the Holy Spirit, and we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. It says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you? And Romans 8 talks about that we have the Holy Spirit. But if your mind is set on carnal things, worldly things, you're going to live like that, because as you think, so you'll be. And that's what Romans 8 says, those that live a carnal life, a fleshly life, it's because they got their mind set on the things of the world, or on the carnal things of the world. That just means the natural things. That's Romans 8, 5, 6, 7, and 8. 5, 6, 7, and 8. Romans 8, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8, and 9. And he says, and you can't please God when you're thinking like that. So it's really about a mindset. It's about renewing your mind with the power of who you already are in Christ, because you already are born again. So now all you have to do is just grab the word, meditate. I have a plan on page 110 to 115 in my book, Do You See What I See? It's a 3M plan, and it starts with memorizing the scriptures, meditating on them so you don't forget. Because if you forget the scriptures that you've memorized, it's as if you don't have them. Now, they're down there in your non-conscious level, but you're not readily ready to pull them up in the conscious level when you're in the middle of the battle. So meditating will help you to do that, and then mouthing it. Talking about it, speaking about it, sharing your gifts about that. See, that's relearning. You're reinforcing. So in your giftings that you have, in your second P, when you start memorizing verses, your second P, the power of the Holy Spirit, is going to use your gifting to help you to relearn what you've already learned into somebody else. And it does, and the cycle just goes on and on, and you get stronger and stronger in the Lord. You grow more and more in the Lord, and you decrease. You see, you're going to always be detoxing those toxic thoughts. That's a continual thing. That's but your position is a one-time thing. Your born-again status, that's already done. Nobody can take you out of Christ's hands. Romans 5 says that you stand in this grace. You can't fall out of that grace. Now, you can fall from the grace and the power of God working in your life by you choosing to allow the flesh to take over, but you'll never fall from the position. There's a difference there. You cannot lose your salvation, but you can sure forfeit a lot of blessings, blessing others, and even rewards. So you want to make sure you're born again. That's what Jesus says. You must be born again. And the fruits, the only way you're going to know it for yourself, it's not just that one day I said, I'm going to receive the Lord as my Savior. I raised my hand. I walked down the aisle. No, that's not it. It's your fruits will tell you what kind of roots you have. So look at your life. Does it match up with what God's Word says? And you have to know what God's Word says to know if you match up to that. But here's something. Here's one. Four things. Sharing the gospel. The good news. That's what that means. Are you sharing the gospel everywhere you go? The Lord Jesus desires us to make disciples. Teach others of the nature and the character of God in your life. And share the meaning of his death and burial and resurrection. Are you doing that? That's Matthew 28, 18 through 20. That's the Great Commission. Are you doing that? Or are you afraid to do it? Like those servants. Are you afraid and you hide? So that's one thing you need to check. Number two, help the disadvantaged. I love this one. Or help the homeless or disadvantaged. Because in the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16, 19-31, the rich man is condemned because he doesn't help Lazarus. And because he trusted in his wealth way too much, oh my gosh, don't put self-gratification before the needs of others. Don't put yourself ahead of others. 1 John 3:17 says, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can they say they have the love of God and they love that person? So, brothers and sisters, you need to be about giving. I'm telling you that Luke 16 passage, making friends, I told you that a long time ago, how God used that to convict me, because I was putting my selfish needs above giving to others. And even giving to myself and saving and spending and giving. But that's all changed. Like I said, I used to be like this, a lot of stuff. But I'm not that way anymore. I praise God. So I'm pressing on, like Paul said in Philippians 3. I am pressing on to the prize of the high calling, wanting to know who I am in Christ every single day. That's why I like doing these shows here too. Doing these blog talk, these podcasts, I hope you're being blessed, because as I get to reinforce and relearn, I'm praying and sowing seeds, broadcasting them out through the internet here. I think it's wonderful that we have these means to broadcast and click and paste and send off to people and across the country and across the world. I think it's awesome to sowing these seeds. So, brothers and sisters, helping the disadvantaged. Is there somebody in your life that you know that's homeless, somebody that's in need, somebody that needs your help, regardless of the situation that got them there, regardless of the choices, regardless of it wasn't their fault, is there somebody in your family? Is there somebody in your neighborhood? Is there somebody that you know that has a need? And because Proverbs 3, I love Proverbs 3:27, when you know that you have the goods within you to give, you should give. I love that. Let's see if I can pull that up real quick. It's just coming to me. It's in Proverbs. My daughter and I, we use that a lot. Proverbs, let's see here, just give me a second here, looking on my handy dandy trusted phone here, let's see, Proverbs, okay, here we go, Proverbs 3:27, I believe. I always say when I'm looking up a verse, if I get it right, I win $1 million. Let's see if I win $1 million with Proverbs 3:27. Let's see, yes, no, did I? Yes, I did. I won $1 million. I play that game with myself. If I think of a verse, I'm not quite sure, and I have to look it up, I always say, I hope it's right, because if it is, I won $1 million. So that's just me. Hey, I do whatever I can to make this word become real to me as I read it. But it says here in Proverbs 3:27, do not withhold good from those whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hands to do so. Isn't that beautiful? So if you have means in your hands, in your resources, in your bank, and you can give, regardless of how much, if you have the need, then you should give. That's what it is. That's what it's saying. Give. Proverbs 3:27. So that's another way. Another one, a way to tell, to measure yourself, to make sure you're born again, is forgiving others for their offense. This isn't the same as reconciliation or trust, but it means you renounce vengeance or retaliation. You don't want to go that way. You're not trying to get even. The Lord Jesus modeled forgiveness for us. You know that if you're a believer, he has forgiven us. When they hurled their insults at him and he didn't retaliate, when he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to the Father who judges justly. 1 Peter 2:23. He said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. I mean, I can just stop right there. Matthew 5:26, James 1:19, Hebrews 12:15, Ephesians 4:26. These are all verses that talks about basically that the anger of human beings does not work the righteousness of God. As a matter of fact, when you're angry and bitter and resentful, it says in Hebrews 12:15, a root of bitterness that comes from Satan, a root, a seed, comes from Satan. It takes root in your mind and it says it will cause you trouble. Remember, Satan, when he speaks, his ally is his voice and it forms into sin. Adam heard the word, heard God, but he made a choice. You have the power to choose life or death, blessings or cursings, but God says choose life. Hebrews 12:15 says that this root of bitterness, if it stays there, it'll grow and it'll cause trouble. You need to know that verse, Hebrews 12:15. Hallelujah. And then the next one is your, I love this, view your position as born again with authority that God has given you, delegated authority as opportunity now to help people that you know, to help to lead people. You have a position, a divine new position that has the opportunity to exercise kingdom authority here on earth. Jesus says, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven. And just as Jesus submitted to his Father's authority, we need to submit to God's authority and those that are over us. Like my submission is under my husband. Hallelujah. He is my protection. He is my guide. And God has given me him. And he is my shepherd. He is my bishop. He is my pastor. And so you need to have a pastor or somebody over you. And that pastor needs to be under the control of the Holy Spirit and God's word too. Either way, you can be Christ-like. Because Jesus was both master and servant to different people. Carry other people's burdens is a way that will fulfill the law of God. That's Galatians 6:2. Brothers and sisters, I just want you to seek the character of God. Get to know him better. Get to know those that you fellowship in church and listen to different sermons. Study together. Pray together. Be honest with one another and just let him use you. He wants to use you. You know, he wants to use you so that you can first of all, so you can know him. And know him personally and get to have an intimate relationship. So it's not religious and ritual. It's not just something I got to do. See, if you're in that mode, I got to do this, I got to do that, or I didn't get anything out of that sermon, and it's just a humdum thing, that's fleshly stuff. You need to get into Romans 6 and realize how dead you are and how alive you really are in Christ. You need to get around God-fearing, believing people and Bible studies. You know what? We have a prayer line on our website. You go there on the first page. You can create your own prayer line. We got the number there available for you at www.lovebyexample.com. You can go there or you can contact us there. Pray for us for our women's seminar that's coming up. A lot of opportunities. So if you feel like there's no place to go, come to lovebyexample.com. We'll help you and guide you and lead you the best way we know how. But right now I'm going to go and leave you with a song. It's called Use Me. Until you just fill me up, till my cup runs over. And that's why I pray for you, that you will be like these two good servants in Luke 19 and Matthew 25 that use their gifts for the master's use. Well, not just the two, there was like four, ten, nine and one and two and the other, that use their gifts in a positive way that glorified the Father because they loved the Lord and they knew who they were in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you and I'll see you soon.
Use me till it hurts me. Fill me till it seems that I might burst. Brought me onto greater challenge. the lake.